The beginning of every month through the winter, we get a new report on snow surveys, the physical ones, in addition to the automated readings. They've been good all through the winter, and we just got the April 1st information. Like the previous reports, this one shows numbers uniformly above not only last year, but above what is considered normal in places where we expect snowpack, for most of the region anyway. We invited snow survey bosses from both states to join us with numbers and stories of procedures. You'll hear the Oregon story from Scott Oviatt, the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service Oregon Snow Survey Supervisor. Hi, Scott.
Hello. Good morning.
Good to have you here today.
Thank you.
So tell us about the process, because it is partly automated, but also partly done by field snow surveys. How often do you actually go out and physically do the measurements?
Well, you touched on that briefly. About once a month, on the first of the month, essentially the last 3 days and first 3 days of each month, we do the manual sampling at various points which have been established, some as far back as the 1920s. And we take sampled points at the exact locations that they've been sampled through the years so we can do a comparative analysis through time. That is primarily about a third of our information. The majority of our information that we use to generate water supply forecasts, as you mentioned, is collected with the automated, the snowtell sites.
So why still measure by hand in the age of the snowtell sites?
Well, number one, some of these sites have not been automated. They're still manual sites, so that's the only mechanism to measure them. Number two, even in locations where we're adjacent or nearby snowtell sites, we want to maintain that historic record just due to the method of measurement. Because anytime you change a measurement method, you can introduce error, as well as the fact that we maintain that historical database. Plus, it provides a verification of the automated readings from the snowtell site.
And so what was the set of readings that looked like over the last couple of years before this particular winter?
Well, as we recall, back in the water year 2015, 14 and 15, it was very dry. We essentially had a snow drought. Many locations remained snow-free throughout the entire water year and winter season, especially in your area in Jackson County. We had sites which did not receive any measurable snow. This year, we're much different. As of today, in the Rogue and Umpqua basins, we're at 123% of normal, and the Klamath Basin, we're at 120% of normal. So that's a good change. Compared to last year, we were at 111% of normal. So we're very similar conditions to last year, just a little bit more. We are cautioned at this point because of what we saw happen climatically last year in April. We had a very warm April with record warm temperatures, which precipitated an immediate runoff of that snow. So that water wasn't available for spring and summer runoff and water volume in the streams for municipalities as well as agriculture.
All right, so that raises the question about which of the readings is the most important. I mean, I think a lot of people settled on April 1st as thinking, well, that sounds like the important one because that's probably the last one after snow actually falls. But there is measurable snowpack after that, and so is May really the one that gives you the best reading of streams?
Historically, we've tended to focus on April 1st, as you mentioned, and that's been primarily due to the fact that peak snowpack generally occurs in mid-March through mid-April, depending upon your location and, you know, the elevation of the site. So that has been the historic focus. But with, for instance, the last 10 years, we've seen a lot of variability in the weather conditions, a lot of warm springtime conditions, which have had these precipitous meltouts. So we are focusing folks on both the April as well as May, because May would be critical if we didn't have sufficient snowpack or near normal conditions, and that impacts the stream flow volume forecasts as well as the amount of water available.
Scott Oviatt's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Snow Survey Supervisor for Oregon for the Natural Resources Conservation Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760. Your questions about snow survey procedures or findings, welcome. 800-838-3760 by email jx@jeffnet.org. We always get into the issue of not just snowpack, but the snow water equivalent, the SWE, as it's always abbreviated in the work within snow surveyors' domains. But a fair amount of difference there, I notice. I'm looking at the actual precipitation. For example, in the Malheur Basin in Oregon, it's probably where the starkest difference lies, where you're showing 131% of the normal precipitation in that basin in eastern Oregon, but just 98% of the snow water equivalent. So does that mean really dry snow fell through the winter?
Actually, in the mouth here, it was just the opposite. We had a very cold January, or actually December, January, and early February period, where we did have a lot of low-elevation snow as well as high-elevation snow. And due to those cold temperatures, it was lower density. But what happened is in early February, we had a warming period, which impacted primarily the Harney, Malheur, and Owyhee basins, and resulted in that low elevation snow melting out. So you may have read a lot about the flooding, which was preceded by the onion sheds collapsing in Malheur County. They had over 12.
Oh, right, because they had that much snow on the roofs, yeah.
Exactly. They're designed for a lower capacity of snow, and with having 200% of normal snowpack at these lower elevations, it collapsed a lot of those roofs. And so that water was available to run off during those warm temperatures. So they did have a loss there, but we've since rebounded. I mean, later in March, we had several periods of our cooler storm systems move through, which stabilized that. So the losses that we encountered in February and March have since stabilized. So we're still above normal or very near normal as far as a snow water equivalent statewide across the state.
And as I look at other parts of the state, too, I mean, you got I love the color shading. I actually had this printed up in color, but the precipitation percentages of normal highest in the Lake County Goose Lake Basin, right in the heart of South Central Oregon there, leading into Goose Lake, which is partly in California. 150% of normal precipitation, is that highly unusual ever, let alone just the last couple of years?
It's not highly unusual, but for the last couple of years, and essentially the last 10 years, it is very unusual because, or almost 15 years, because we've seen extended drier periods and you know, very severe drought in all of southern Oregon, throughout the Klamath, those basins, and including the Rogue Basin as well, and over to Curry County. So, yes, it's a good signal that we've been seeing that. And then, you know, as we know from our neighbors in California, they've been receiving a lot of precipitation, both valley rains and mountain snowpack. So it's trickled up into southern Oregon, and that's where the primary storm track is followed, just off the California coast into southern Oregon.
That storm track can be a kind of a maker or breaker for snowpack, it seems like, depending on how far north or south it swings and what kind of precipitation it brings with it.
Exactly, and we've seen some variation this winter, but all in all, for Oregon as a whole, we're in great shape. Considering it just depends. You know, I keep reverting back to the temperature scenario. It just depends on what our temperatures will do this month, since we're above average snowpack statewide. Can we maintain that until we need and have a slower, more generalized runoff as opposed to a catastrophic event of warm temperatures or a significant rain on snow event?
Even as the precipitation falls in the first place, I just wonder how big a difference a degree or two in temperature can make. I mean, how different would it be about where the snow line would fall based on just 1 or 2 degrees of temperature?
Exactly. That's the key to these storms. And this winter, we've been fortunate in that we've had the cooler temperatures at, say, you know, 4,000 feet and above to build that snowpack, wherein if we look back at that snow drought of 2014 and 15, we had probably 80-90% of normal precipitation from the water year perspective statewide, especially down in southwestern Oregon. But all of that fell as rainfall as opposed to snow because the temperatures were so warm. So temperatures really do drive the process.
We're talking to Scott Oviatt at the Natural Resources Conservation Service of the federal government. He's the Oregon Snow Survey Supervisor. Here's a call from John and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. A quick comment. It's not normal snowpack. It's average. I know Jeffrey has heard me mention this before, but, you know, it does vary a lot. But my question was more specific to a site. So I've noticed that for 6 now of the last 7 years, Waldo Lake has not frozen over, and it had always frozen over when I could see it from where I ski a lot before. I was wondering, is one of the snow survey sites that you guys visit close enough to Waldo Lake to have decided or seen whether it has frozen over all the time before? It's an interesting climate indicator. So I'm trying to get information on the Waldo Lake freeze, and I'm wondering if you guys might have that.
All right, good question. Thanks, John.
Unfortunately, we would not. The Natural Resources Conservation Service would not. I would probably refer you to the Oregon Water Resources Department because they may have some measurement sites in that vicinity and may have some information on what exactly is happening there. I don't know that off the top of my head, and it is a very good question. Just in terms of your comment on normal versus average snowpack, we're actually using a median to calculate our snowpack. That's why we use the word normal. Average is used for precipitation, and that is truly an average. So that's the differentiation there between the two references.
Yeah, I tend to look at the climate information and spout that out as normal when John will correct me on that, and he's right to do so, that we're talking about an average here. So when you're talking about the medians, though, I would just wonder if those adjust every year. You're looking at like a 30-year median. Is that the usual indicator?
Yes, we follow the World Meteorological Organization standards and specifications that use a 30-year median, which is generated essentially right now. We're running off of 1981 through 2010, and as of 2020, we'll update those to run off of 1991 through 2020. So every 10 years, we revise them. Obviously, in a perfect world, a running 30-year average, I think, would be more comparable. However, that has not been adopted as a international or even a national approach at this point. So that's why we're sticking to that approach.
Okay. So since they tend to stay locked up, so you refresh the 30 years every 10 years.
That's correct.
Essentially. Okay. So it's not a running change in what the median is. Interesting.
No. As I mentioned, it would be. I think it would be ideal to do that. However, just due to processes and other issues, that has not been adopted and has not been approached, because we want to make sure we're comparable to other the National Weather Service, for instance, and those approaches, so we have comparable data.
I wonder then, given recent years of drought, if the numbers we're seeing for this year, if there had been a yearly adjustment of the median, these actually would have been somewhat higher relative to that.
I would certainly anticipate that. You know, not having that data in front of me, I would definitely, you know, say that that's probably the case.
Scott, I want to come back and talk about some of the measuring practices. First of all, we talked about going out to some of the places in the 14-15 water year and just finding some places where there just simply was no snow. I mean, you don't go through the motions and jab the thing against the ground or something like that, do you? I mean, you just say there's no snow here, right?
No, I mean, you're right. We actually do have to physically visit each site location to verify that and walk down to each of the sampling points. If there's small amounts of snow, for instance, at 3 of the 10 points that we're sampling, we'll do what's called a bulk sample, where we'll average it out over the entire points and then look at the amount of snow there and then calculate that out, you know, estimating it out over the entire course, which really wasn't applicable in 2014 and 15. This year we've had very little bulk sampling. It's been primarily samples at every point, so that's why we've been able to get good representative numbers.
So what then do you do? I mean, it seems like the procedure itself hasn't changed very much for a long time. We're talking about the aluminum tubes, and you weigh the thing to discover what the water content is within the snow and everything. Is that all pretty much as it used to be?
Yes, we've tried to stick to that because that maintains the integrity of our historical database. Also, that is the true reference method. So when we are validating our automated sites, we use the federal snow sampling tubes to validate that information.
So how do you decide where what sites will get a snowtell site? These ones that are this is a telemetry on the snowpack, so that's why they're called snowtell sites. I mean, why will some places get converted to snowtell over time?
Well, in a perfect world, we would automate each of the manual sites and have that, you know, replace that or run concurrently, which we do. We run for 10 years at a time when we put an automated site in concurrent with the manual sites. However, just due to resources and other concerns, we rely on a lot of our stakeholder input, be it an irrigation district, be it a large municipality, be it the United States Army Corps of Engineers, someone like that, to work with us and looking at the importance of that and how it correlates to a downstream measurement site. You know, we're correlating our statistical streamflow volume forecasts from the snowpack in the mountains at these sites to a stream gauging station. So a lot of that plays into, you know, stakeholders and people of interest there as well.
I have to wonder, if you get a good snow year like this one after several years of drought, does some of the snow melt not make it to streams? I mean, would the stream flow be somewhat lower than projected simply because the ground itself is soaking up the water?
In most cases, yes. This year, that's probably not likely in that we had very substantial statewide October rainfall, in some cases record rainfall in many locations. So we're fully anticipating that the soil profile was saturated and filled so that the majority of this will be available as runoff. Obviously, the case-by-case scenario, and then when you look at the basalt structures, which we have from our volcanic systems here, you get a lot of direct infiltration regardless just because of the nature of the geomorphology.
Okay, but we're looking at good numbers here. We're above 120% for the Rogan Umpqua Basin, a little higher for the Willamette Valley, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah. Willamette is currently at, as of today, 140%. And statewide, we're at 125% of normal snowpack. So we're in good shape. Last year at this point, as I mentioned earlier, we were at 111%. But once again, we're in that cautionary period. What will April bring us as far as temperatures as well as continued storm impacts?
Okay, we'll come back and look at this on May 1st and see how things are looking. Scott Oviatt is the Oregon Snow Survey Supervisor for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me.